Let's lace them up.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
Dribbling has to put it up with a buzzer. Banks it in! He banks in the three! And the Lakers win the game!
With a tear in my eye! This is the greatest moment in my life.
She was wearing a strap-on, and she was plowing our neighbor Bob Greenwald. And folks, I do mean right in the ass. Fastball misses. Just low. Count goes full. 3-2.
What is up, everybody? And welcome to officially the first episode of Wrestling with Ryan Hernandez. My name is Mike Andrade, and our host, guest host for the evening, go ahead.
What's up, guys? It's Ryan Hernandez, and as Mike said, it's the first episode of Wrestling with yours truly, so let's get to it.
Let's get to it, guys. All right, so on our agenda today, we are talking about the Tribal Chief, the OTC, the former big dog of WWE. We are talking about the man Roman Reigns, and more specifically, we are talking about the Bloodline today. As far as goats in your conversation, we know who is number one, but where does Roman Reigns fall for you?
A lot of people are probably going to disagree with this. He's not top 10.
Not top 10. Wow.
I wouldn't even say. You could argue that he's maybe in like the top 50, but.
Mm-hmm. Okay, top 50. Wow. That is surprisingly shocking. Elaborate on that. Why don't you think he's a top 10 performer of all time?
Because, you know, he did the typical, like, part-timer, like, show up when you want to, defend the title when you want to. And, like, you know, us fans, we don't want to see that, you know. Like, we saw it with Brock and, like, some other guys is like we don't want that. As recently, Logan Paul, like, who only defended his title 3 times mm-hmm. in like 300-something days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, for me personally, I wouldn't do it or put him in the top 10. Plus, like, I know people would say like, oh, his Tribal Chief run was like the best of his career, which it was. But I also feel like, you know, in terms of like his wrestling ability and stuff, it's still kind of like decent, because I feel like he was carried in most of the matches against just better, more technically sound wrestlers.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I know people said his promos like got better, just like, no, he said the same promo every week, whatever city, like, acknowledge me, like, I'm the Tribal Chief. If you want to get to this, you got to go through me and you ain't going to beat me. So it's like, he basically started cutting the same promo week in and week out.
Interesting that, you know, what you're saying right now is, you know, it's definitely arguable. But I would definitely have him higher up on my list. I would not say that he's a top 50. I would say the guy is a top 10 performer of all time. You know, I just think the way he's been able to, in this John Cena-esque, rise above the hate in terms of his popularity, getting over with the crowd, you know, his ability to put on great matches. I think the guy has risen above any and all expectations. But let's get into it right now. Let's talk about the early days of the Tribal Chief. So with that, we had the experiment, the Vince McMahon experiment of the big dog. Explain to the audience why it failed.
It failed because he got to the point where he was being shoved down the throats. He was in, like, every main event. He was always in the championship picture. He was winning everything that you can think of. Mm-hmm. And he also had some pretty, pretty bad promos, like Suffering Succotash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an infamous one that people will never forget. And, you know, I'm glad people don't blame that on him, because they knew it was the writing. They knew it was Vince McMahon, you know, spoon feeding him such garbage. So I'm glad he was able to get over that. You know, yeah, and you're right. You know, like, because he was forced down our throats, almost in the way John Cena was for many years, forced down our throats. This is going to be the guy, and damn it, you know, this is my Vince McMahon impersonation. Damn it, you're going to love him, you know?
It's such good shit.
Exactly. Damn it, pal. Give him dog food. That'll get him over. But Vince McMahon had, always, you know, for years and years and years, always relied on the guy, you know, whether it was Hulk Hogan or, you know, Bret the Hitman Hart, Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, then John Cena. He always relied on the guy to carry the company. And in the mid-2010s, it was Roman Reigns. And despite the fact that the fans just didn't seem to believe in him, even though that was his motto. Wasn't that believe in me or something? Was it? Or it was believe that, right?
Believe that.
Yeah. So in that, Vince McMahon was just dead set on trying to make money with this guy. And it was really rough to watch for a few years, especially that infamous Monday Night Raw where it was his first in-ring battle with John Cena. You remember that, Ryan, don't you?
Yeah, we witnessed a verbal murder on live television.
It was so bad. It was I can't remember a verbal beatdown like the way we witnessed John Cena.
I just remember like the second Roman forgot his lines, it's just like, oh crap. It's like you forgot your lines against the wrong dude, buddy.
Exactly.
And Cena called him out for it.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's okay, I'll wait. Go ahead. If you want to be the big dog, you're gonna have to learn how to cut a promo.
Exactly. That was so bad to watch. If you've never seen that clip, go back and watch it. It was just a verbal burying, you know. Roman stumbled on his lines, forgot it on live television, and Cena ate him up. And yeah. I think it was on purpose for that, you know. Like, Vince McMahon probably knew what he was doing, trying to get Roman Reigns over and maybe learn a lesson in the ring of being, you know, trying to be better on the microphone. And he put him in there with the greatest of all time, John Cena, and he got eaten alive. But Roman Reigns, you know, eventually, you know, well, sadly, then had to leave with his remission of leukemia. And then after he came back from that was, you know, he was as over as ever. You know, it was sad that he had to take time away and, you know, treating his illness. We wish that it would have never happened like that, but all things kind of work, you know, the way they're supposed to do. And he came back super over, but still wasn't at that level that fans wanted him to be. And so then the pandemic happens. So then he takes time off. He was supposed to wrestle, was it Goldberg?
Goldberg at WrestleMania 36.
Yeah,
he was supposed to wrestle. Universal title.
Yeah. And then he drops out of that match, you know, almost midway through kind of like the package we're supposed to see leading up into WrestleMania. But for good reasons, you know, it was the start of the pandemic. You know, Roman couldn't take the risk of being in that setting with, you know, COVID-19 going around, not knowing, you know, what it was. And he had to do what was best for himself. So he went away for a while. And then when he came back during that summer, what did we see, Ryan?
We saw the rise of the tribal chief, and we saw something we probably never thought we'd see. We saw a heel Roman Reigns.
After all these years, fans clamoring for Roman Reigns to go heel. So many years fans wanted that. Vince McMahon stuck to his heels, much like John Cena. He didn't want Cena to be heel. He wanted Roman Reigns to be that main babyface, to do all the baby, the make-a-wish stuff, to carry the company. And he just, you know, wouldn't let it happen. But finally he did. He gave in, and he gave Roman Reigns not only the heel turn, but he gave him not an advocate. But what is it, Ryan?
The wise man.
The wise
WWE man. Hall of Famer, Paul Heyman.
Right. So then we see a different side of Roman Reigns. He comes back. Was it what was his moniker? Come back, destroy.
Oh yeah, like come back, destroy everyone, and leave.
Exactly. So during that time, we see Bray Wyatt, rest in peace, the Fiend as Universal Champion. Roman Reigns comes back, destroys the Fiend in a way that we probably never even saw the Fiend again after that point. And the start of a championship reign with the Universal Championship, the blue belt, the blueberry belt. The start of a reign that we never expected to ever see in the modern day. A reign of 1,316 days. Now, it wasn't all completely just the Universal Championship. Eventually down the line, you would see the reign combined with the WWE Championship.
Yeah, with the bit with the unification bout at WrestleMania 38, which we were at, and we saw Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns in the title unification.
Exactly. So before that, though, who were his opponents for the Universal Championship? Because this feels like so long ago at this point now.
Yeah, The Fiend, Braun Strowman.
Daniel Bryan, right?
Daniel Bryan, Edge.
Cena.
Cena.
You were there when he... Oh, no, you went to the SummerSlam.
Yeah, I was there. I was at SummerSlam. I was the loudest guy as soon as the trumpets hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was Cena's last, I would say, last major... No, his last match for a championship. Am I correct about that?
Well, he had the United States Championship match at WrestleMania.
Right, right. Yeah.
But in terms of world championships, yes.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, so we saw him going through all these guys at WrestleMania 37, 8? 37.
37 was the triple threat with Daniel Bryan and yes. Edge.
Right. And then you go through a whole year later, and then you see the match versus Brock with the unification title match. And just to be clear, though, I mean, even though it was against Brock Lesnar, I feel like the feud that they had, you know, from 2018 all the way to 2023, it was like a 5-year run of them feuding against each other. Honestly, their best match was their last match together.
Their SummerSlam match, the last man standing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they because in all the previous matches, their matches were just so boring and slow. But in this one, it was actually like, whoa, like, we saw things we never thought we'd see, especially when Brock got a tractor and he flipped the ring.
That was just craziness. That was the first pay-per-view that we saw of the Triple H era.
Yeah.
So after Vince McMahon stepped away for the first time, he eventually came back. But after Vince McMahon stepped away, we saw the Triple H era take over that night. And that was just carnage in itself. The tractor, the ring. I've never seen anything like that in my life. You know, but Roman Reigns won that match and still continued the reign. The reign of terror of Roman Reigns. You know, at that point, he was undisputed Universal Champion. And really no, you know, end in sight. He goes through, I can't really remember who he faced after that. Was it Logan Paul, I think?
Yeah, I think in the one-off match, because I think it was at a Crown Jewel.
Oh, yeah. And then the Royal Rumble of 2023.
Seth.
Okay, it was with Seth. That was where Seth came out in the Shield entrance.
And that was, even though it was by DQ, Seth was the only man to beat Roman one-on-one during his Reign of Terror.
Exactly.
Albeit it was DQ, but it's so Seth's point still stands. He's like, you can't beat me in the big matches. You can't beat me when it matters most.
Right. Exactly. And so then, you know, you go on to WrestleMania that year versus Cody. And then really the biggest feud of the reign of Roman Reigns, the title reign, his biggest feud during that time was with Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes winning the Royal Rumble in 2023, you know, going on to SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles to face Roman Reigns. We were there as well. And I didn't expect for Roman Reigns to eventually win that match. When I never got your opinion on this, but when Roman Reigns eventually won that match at WrestleMania, I felt like the whole place just got deflated. What did you think?
Yeah, it really did, because, you know, the crowd was on fire like the whole night. Because we had some great matches throughout throughout that weekend, and we were so hyped. And then as soon as we hear that three count and Roman's music hit, everybody just kind of just got – you could hear like a huge like kind of like sigh, like, oh. Be like, I guess we got to deal with another year or so of a Roman Reigns as champ.
Yep. And that was really deflating. You know, I think the fans were ready for a celebration. I was ready for a celebration to crown Cody as the new champion, and it didn't happen, you know? So we still had another year of Roman, you know, being the guy and carrying the company, even though he was hardly on television. I think then that point of 2023, how many, he only had like what, like four title defenses?
I think he only had like four title defenses, but he had like more matches, but that's because he had two tag matches with Solo, one for the tag titles and then the Bloodline Civil War.
Right, exactly. So let's talk about the Bloodline here. The early Bloodline, that going back to 2021. So let's talk about the iteration of that. So originally it was it Jey Uso?
It was, yeah, Roman, Jey, and Jimmy.
Right, because Jimmy was hurt, right? Correct?
Yes. But it, so that's what we all started, you know, is Jey versus Roman, because Jey didn't want to, you know, fall in line, and eventually he did fall in line, and his brother joined him soon after.
Right, exactly. And so now you take the two Uso brothers, you know, and then you tag him with Roman Reigns, a combination of which fans clamored to see for years. I remember back in 2016-17, people were talking about how cool would it be to see Roman partner with the Usos, you know. It was something that fans wanted to see, and so we're having it now, 2021. You see Roman partnering with the Usos. They call themselves the Bloodline. How cool is that? And then, you know, you add in the mix of Paul Heyman. So it's a faction, you know. Essentially, you have a big faction here now. And to much of people's surprise, somebody that you would never expect to join the Bloodline. Who do we see, Ryan?
Sami Zayn.
Tell the people how that came about.
So Sami was, like, you know, constantly interacting, like, in the locker room with Roman, Paul Heyman, and the Usos. You know, trying to get on their good side, because he knows what the Bloodline can do. You know, they go out and wreck everyone and leave. So, you know, Sami was trying to get on their good side, and eventually he got in the good graces of Roman Reigns, that he became a honorary oos.
Are you feeling oosy today?
I'm feeling oosy. Are you feeling oosy?
I'm feeling very oosy. But yeah, go ahead.
But yeah, so Sami got in the good graces of Roman Reigns. You know, he stepped in when they needed help. Like, I remember there was a tag title match, and one of the Usos was hurt. So Sami stepped in on their behalf, and they retained the tag titles. And, you know, he just got in the good graces of everyone in the Bloodline, to the point where they made him an honorary Us, became honorary member of the Bloodline. And then his loyalty to the Bloodline was really put to the test at a Survivor Series War Games.
That was an incredible match. You know, it was something to see, you know, Sami Zayn, something people never would have expected, you know, to see work. And I think it was only supposed to be like a one-off, but they kept doing it every single week. You know, I think they talked about just having him go to the locker room a couple times, trying to talk to Roman Reigns, get his attention. And that would probably, and I think they did put a pause on that for a little bit, but then when Vince McMahon stepped away, they brought it back, if I'm not mistaken. So just seeing Sami Zayn just being a team player and just filling the role of being this goofy piece to the Bloodline, and, you know, the comedy stuff, but also just like being able to, you know, letting people, you know, take him seriously in the Bloodline too. Like, that was an amazing work by Sami Zayn, and that really catapulted him for the next level in his career. You know,
yeah, definitely. I think this is the, you know, the biggest and most over Sami has been in his entire career, including NXT.
Mm-hmm. Because while he was just floundering there, without Kevin Owens, when he stopped the tag team stuff with Kevin Owens, he was just floundering. I mean, there was nothing really important Sami Zayn was doing on the roster. He was doing that conspiracy theory stuff, and then that kind of led into the Jackass with
Johnny Knoxville.
You know, he was never really important on the show until he joined the Bloodline. And so him joining the Bloodline was the best thing for the Bloodline too, to keep blood, you know, no pun intended, but keep the blood flowing through the Bloodline. So then we get to the Royal Rumble 2023. Like you said, his loyalty was put to the test. How was that done?
So it was Roman was defending against Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were beating up Kevin Owens. Roman was going to hit him with a chair, but he says, no, Sammy, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and, you know, given the history between Sammy and KO, like, they're best friends. They literally grew up together. They trained together, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And Sammy couldn't get himself to do it. And he even stepped in front of him. He's like, all right, that's enough. Like, okay, he gets the message. That's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so Roman hands him the chair, and he doesn't do it. And then Roman makes a mistake of turning his back. Sammy swings the chair across the back of the tribal chief, and the crowd goes crazy.
To quote the great, late, great Pat Patterson, they go banana. It was incredible, you know, just to see the reaction from the crowd.
Yeah, and even the Usos were like, what are you doing, man? You are family. You're a blood. What are you doing?
Yep. Because he was a part of the family at that point.
Yeah, and then that's when we really started to see, like, you know, if Jay was loyal, because we saw Jay having, like, you know, second thoughts, you know. Mm-hmm. Because originally, Jay did not like Sammy. Jimmy and Sammy got along, but Jay did not like Sammy because he didn't trust Sammy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But then that's after War Games,
yep,
that's when he realized he could trust Sammy. And yeah, so that's when we really started, you know, the seed being planted for the Usos eventually breaking off from the rest of the Bloodline.
Exactly. That was a big sticking point too, the trust that Sami Zayn built with Jey Uso. You know, because Jey Uso did not trust him at all. He was very friendly with Jimmy, but Jay was like, I see right through you. You're here to cause damage in the Bloodline, and I'm not gonna allow it for it. But he got that trust at Survivor Series. So when Sami Zayn, you know, put the chair to Roman Reigns after he was mauling, I think they were mauling Kevin Owens, that really took him to the next level. So then you get to the Elimination Chamber in 2023 versus Roman for the title. And I know Roman, you know, they were never going to put the title on Sami. And Roman was always going to win. But that would have been so great. It's such a moment for him if he would have won that title
in Canada.
Exactly. Yeah. Incredible. That would have been incredible. But then you get to, you know, like we mentioned earlier, WrestleMania. You know, he beats Cody. You have another year. And then you get to, you know, the Royal Rumble of this past year. You know, you get to the Fatal 4-Way versus AJ Styles, LA Knight, Randy Orton. You know, that was really just filler to get to.
Yeah, and that match wasn't really that great either. Like, and you would think it would be, but nah, that match just felt slow. And I think everybody knew the outcome that, oh, Roman's going to retain.
Exactly. It was just filler, you know. And that led us to what we saw, the big plot this year, you know, with Cody. And then eventually The Rock sneaking his way into that main event. So discuss everything that transpired in that.
Yeah, so we saw something we haven't seen since Shawn Michaels back in the late 90s with Cody Rhodes winning back-to-back Royal Rumbles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after the match, you know, how the Royal Rumble winner gets to pick their opponent for WrestleMania, he pointed at Roman, says, I'm coming for you, Roman. Mm-hmm. And then
that was
we get to the next... Yeah, and then we get to the next SmackDown. I believe it was the next SmackDown. You know, Cody comes out, He's like, I want you for the Universal Championship, mm-hmm. but not at WrestleMania.
And that threw everybody.
But I know somebody that you know quite well who will face you for the title.
If you smell.
Out comes The Rock, and everybody gets all hyped because they're like, oh, we finally get to see The Rock versus Roman Reigns. The probably the biggest dream match left in the with the current roster of stars.
Yep.
Everybody got all hyped at first, but then over time we saw this We Want Cody movement. All of a sudden we started seeing We Want Cody on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere, like to the point where even ESPN was talking about it.
Everywhere. Every major Pat McAfee, all over.
And then you had, the fans chanting We Want Cody, and all of a sudden WWE has to shift back and they have to go back to Cody versus Roman because that's what the fans want.
Yeah.
A lot of people would say, oh, it was a work, it was scripted. That's what I thought initially too, but after doing more research, no, it really did sound like their plan was Roman versus The Rock.
Yeah, did you watch the documentary that came out?
I've seen like bits and pieces. I saw the part where The Rock talks about, he's like, the fans weren't happy. So he's like, I had to, we had to make an audible and we had to switch back.
Yeah, and who knows what exactly is the truth, The Rock kind of came off in that documentary. Like, you ever see like the LeBron memes of him lying?
Yeah.
Cabby Le Cap. It was basically like The Rock, The Rock lying and his own version of the cap. Like, it just sounded so, like, not fake.
Yeah.
But just so disingenuous, of what he was talking about.
But do you think, after all of this, regardless of how it ended up, we saw The Rock turn heel for the first time since Hollywood Rock.
Exactly. The final That's boss.
We saw the incarnation of the final boss, which you could argue is probably the greatest work of his career.
Exactly. The Rock coming in and almost hijacking the main event was very shitty. Not going to lie. And it would have been very shitty if that actually went through with Cody, because Cody deserved it. In storyline, he won the Royal Rumble, but just everything he had went through to come back, and he was super over with the fans. And for The Rock to almost take that, that would have been really shitty on his part. But thank God that didn't happen. The Rock came back, they changed course, and we saw the best iteration of The Rock that we haven't seen in years, the final boss.
And to think his heel turn happened at a press conference.
Exactly, the Las Vegas press conference, where they showed the whole entire family tree. Cody comes out, says, your father would be ashamed of you, your family would be ashamed of you, and The Rock, Will Smith style, bitch slaps
Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
We see legit. It looks like they're ready to go. And then here you have Seth freaking Rollins, who had probably one of the greatest rivalries of the 2020s with Cody Rhodes in their trilogy. Who completely despised and cannot get along with Cody Rhodes, all of a sudden put his differences aside. He's like, fine. I'll team up with you, and we're going to take out The Rock and Roman Reigns.
So we saw night one of WrestleMania, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody and Seth. And I thought it was a decent match. What did you think?
I did think it was like a decent – I didn't like the whole thing of, like, The Rock's like, if you count, you're fired. I didn't like that because it kind of shows, like, okay, Rock, now you're just abusing your power. And it's like, if you really wanted it to be like that, why didn't you just put a stipulation in? You could have been like, oh, it's a no – no DQ or no holds barred, or it's a street fight, But I mean, for what it was, it was great. It told a great story. The Rock looked really good, despite his age and not wrestling a full match since 2013. Roman actually looked good. Seth and Cody, they've been great, but Seth and Cody, man, they really stepped it up.
Exactly.
In that match. And they all deservingly so, because Seth has never had a main event match at WrestleMania. Even though the height of the century happened, he wasn't officially part of that match. So the fact that Seth finally gets his WrestleMania main event, well deserved, and he really he really showed. He's like, this is why I deserve, you know, to be a main eventer.
Right, exactly. So The Rock ends up putting Cody Rhodes in the people's elbow. 1, 2, 3, they get the win. But that's not it for that WrestleMania. You get to night 2 of WrestleMania. And probably the greatest main event that we've ever seen in WrestleMania history.
And as a result from night 1, that's how it became Bloodline Rules.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then you see a very good match between Cody and Roman from the previous WrestleMania, headlining night 2. And what do we see, Ryan?
We see probably the greatest 5 minutes in the history of professional wrestling. We see my personal favorite, my GOAT, the greatest of all time, John Cena, return to get some revenge on Solo. Yeah. And not to mention before that, Jay came out and their little battle ringside was better than their actual WrestleMania match.
It was.
You know, we saw Jay spear Jimmy off the stage, which got the crowd really hyped up.
Exactly.
And then we saw The Rock come out, you know, lay at the SmackDown an old rival of John Cena. And then we saw Shield Seth Rollins. I'm not gonna lie, I thought it was Dean Ambrose at first when I first heard that.
Too. Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. Mm-hmm. But then after all that, we had probably the greatest shocker, the greatest surprise that none of us were expecting. We all were expecting Stone Cold, right?
And I really wish it was Stone Cold. And it would have been perfect for Stone Cold to be there.
Then all of a sudden we hear the gong and the crowd goes crazy. Yep. I think that's the loudest pop the Undertaker's ever had.
Maybe. Yeah, I think he's had some pretty good ones, but that was a really loud pop for him. You know,
and you know, given the history he has, not only with The Rock, but with Roman and even Paul Heyman, you know, when he had his feud with Brock, when Paul Heyman was his advocate, I know everybody wished it was Stone Cold, but it made sense with it being The Undertaker, given his history with Roman and The Rock.
Exactly. And so after all that hoopla, all that banana, you see Cody Rhodes hit Roman with not one, not two, but three.
Yeah.
Cody Cutters?
Crossroads.
Crossroads. That's what I'm thinking of.
And then
1, 2, 3. Exactly.
Cody finally finishes his story. We hear the crowd going crazy. We hear even Michael Cole, Corey Graves, and Pat McAfee going crazy. Crying.
Exactly. Samantha Irvin, you know.
And then we see everybody coming out. We see Randy Orton come out. We see Kevin Owens come out. We see L.A. Knight. Yeah, come out.
Cena's there. Everybody.
Cena's in there. CM Punk's in there.
Yep. And so
Triple H, Bruce Pritchard.
We only have a few minutes left, so let's get this in. So now going past WrestleMania, Roman's off television. Now he's feuding with Solo Sikoa. Solo is, you know, he's almost DX style. When Shawn Michaels went away in 98, he brought, you know, Triple H brought in X-Pac, the New Age Outlaws, to form the new DX. Now, you know, Solo's bringing in, he brought in Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, the former, what was his name? The
Camacho.
Camacho, former Camacho, and Jacob Fatu.
Who is probably the greatest addition of the Bloodline ever. Exactly. Jacob Fatu's a beast.
He's a beast. He's an absolute animal out there. But now you see this new iteration of the Bloodline. And going forward, Roman came back at SummerSlam. He's going to be feuding with, you know, Solo and the new Bloodline, you know. And I think at Survivor Series, you're going to see Bloodline Civil War.
Yeah, and you know, Roman's going to need some help.
Exactly. So I think we're definitely going to get the OG Bloodline back. The Usos, Sami Zayn, and Roman versus the new Bloodline. You know? And it's going to be something to watch, you know? Will The Rock come back at Survivor Series to help give the new Bloodline the win? I think definitely a possibility.
Is The Rock going to reveal that he was behind this the entire time and that he appointed Solo Sikoa the tribal chief?
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. I think it's definitely possible.
And I think hopefully,
go ahead.
Oh, hopefully this all leads to the dream match, which I feel now is appropriate at WrestleMania 41 in Las Vegas. The Roman Reigns versus The Rock.
Exactly. That's hopefully a match that we'll see. We'll end it right there, Ryan. We have less than 2 minutes left, but I want to thank everybody for listening to this podcast. If you're listening to this, that means that you're a viewer of our show. On behalf of me and Ryan, I really just want to thank you, because growing an audience is really hard. And I really want to do a lot of things with this podcast, not just wrestling, but basketball and football and baseball. So if you're listening, I really just want to say thank you. Ryan, do you have anything to say real quick?
Yeah, you know, I just want to say, Mike, first of all, thank you for letting me, you know, join you on this, because I know you've been doing, you know, the Lace Them Up podcast for a few years. So I'm just honored that you wanted me to be a part of the wrestling portion. Again, to all the listeners, all the viewers, thank you for tuning in, and, you know, tell your friends, spread the word, because me and Mike, we want this to go big, you know.
Exactly.
Absolutely. We want this to grow, and this wouldn't be possible without any of you guys. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Well said, Ryan. Well, guys, until next time, my name is Mike Andrade. This is...
And I'm Ryan Hernandez.
We'll catch you next Sunday with Wrestling with Ryan Hernandez. Take care, guys.
Later.